Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Today marks what would have been the 186th birthday of the man we came to know as Levi Strauss. Born Loeb Strauss in Bavaria, he came to America to join the family dry goods business on the East Coast. From there, he ventured west to San Francisco at the height of the gold rush, hoping to seek his own fortune. And he found it, manufacturing riveted denim pants for miners and working men, giving birth to the now iconic blue jean. The Levi Strauss Company was founded in 1853, but its early days remain a bit of a mystery. Levi's lost records and photographs and nearly all of its inventory in the great San Francisco earthquake and fire of 1906, which makes the job of today's Good Gig guest all the more challenging. Tracy Panic is historian at Levi Strauss & Company in San Francisco. And Tracy, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. It's good to be here, especially on this special birthday of Levi Strauss.
Pretty momentous occasion, a company that's been around for that long. But how is it that Levi Strauss first came up with the idea for what were then called waist overalls, what we now call jeans?
It's a great story of innovation and collaboration. And when he arrived in San Francisco and set up a wholesale business, he was working with a lot of retailers who were selling to miners and other working men during the gold rush. And as part of that effort, he was selling things ranging from fabrics to underwear to a number of different stores, and had set up a relationship with a tailor in Reno, Nevada, whose name was Jacob Davis. And Davis had come up with an unusual way of making pants. He had the hunch that if he took a small piece of metal and added it to the stress points in a pair of pants around the pocket area, that he could create a very durable pair of work pants, which is what he was trying to do. The hunch proved correct, and he made pants that became very popular, so popular, in fact, that he couldn't meet up with the demand for the pants. And so he wrote to his fabric supplier in San Francisco, Levi Strauss, and let him know of his interesting way of making pants and asked if Levi Strauss was interested in taking out a patent for the process. This was 1872 about, and by this point, Levi Strauss had been in San Francisco for many years, was a successful businessman, but had never done any manufacturing. But he was an adventurer, he was a pioneer and an innovator, and he was welcome and was open to the idea and welcomed Jacob Davis to San Francisco. The two of them took out a patent for riveted pants and began the process of manufacturing what would be the world's first blue jeans.
So what made these Levi's pants so unique and so popular?
What made them unique was that tiny piece of metal. It was the rivets that were added to the denim that changed, really revolutionized fashion. They became incredibly durable workwear pants, and they were so well received that they were used by working men generally during those late 1870s and up through the turn of the century. And then they today we see them almost everywhere. They began as what I like to call a grassroots garment, because it was people in the bottom of the economic sector that wore them first, and spread so that nowadays they are almost a democratic garment. Mm-hmm. People in most any area of the world, any age group, wear them and are comfortable wearing them. They're just a great fashion statement that can be individualized to anyone's taste.
In reading about the history of Levi's, we found a local connection that was interesting, the Ammaskeg Mill Yard in Manchester. How does New Hampshire factor into the history of Levi's jeans?
When the company started producing the first blue jeans, there were not fabric mills here in Northern California. And so we looked elsewhere to the east of the country where they were making incredible denim. Amaskag Mill was making a denim known as Double X. It was the top of the line denim, the best you could get. And that's what we used to produce our first blue jeans. And in fact, that was the name we gave to those early pants, the Double X. And you'll see Double X on some of our early invoices. And that Double X was the fabric that came from the Amaskag Mill. And we used that for all of our early denim up until about the 1922 when we started going to North Carolina. But through those years, all of those denim products were made with denim from the Amaskag Mill.
So what is your background, Tracy? How did you become an historian for a blue jeans company?
Well, I've got a master's in history. Going way back in time, though, I like to think that my interest in history began in my family. I have a large family, and one of the earliest, fondest memories I have is sitting around the kitchen table after dinner on a Sunday, and my mother sharing stories of her life growing up on a farm in New Zealand. And from there, I developed a real passion for history, got my master's in it, and ended up going into corporate history. I wanted a way to apply history to business. And so I started in corporate history working for a company here in San Francisco that launched cellular communications at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. I was there for about 5 years and then moved to the American Automobile Association, where I was the historian for a number of years here in San Francisco. They're another longtime business. They started in San Francisco in 1900, turn of the century. And the interesting thing about those two jobs is that they were all about luxury items. Cars and cell phones were, at the time, very expensive. Only the richest people could afford to buy those until much later. And now that I'm at Levi Strauss & Company, it's very much the opposite. It was the people working men, the lowest chain on the economic ladder, if you will, who were buying our products, blue jeans. So it's an interesting juxtaposition.
I'm speaking with Tracy Panic about her good gig. She's the blue jeans historian at Levi Strauss & Company. Tracy, it sounds like such an interesting gig, but one that I never knew existed. So what does a day in the life of a blue jeans historian look like?
What's great about my job is I do a lot of different things. I'm a part collector. I manage the Levi Strauss and Company archives, where we have an incredible collection of photographs, marketing pieces, but most importantly, a large collection of Levi Strauss and Company garments. So vintage garments, including the oldest pair of blue jeans in the world that are kept in a fireproof safe.
How old are they?
They date to about 1879.
Wow.
And they're in incredible condition, and they are made of denim from the Amaskag Mill in New Hampshire. I also am a bit of a detective. Mm-hmm. I get to answer questions ranging from questions that come to me from designers in the company. One just yesterday asking, who were the people that were first wearing our denim jackets? Because we also invented denim jackets in addition to the blue jeans.
When did they come along?
And they came a little bit later, 1880s about, and we also have the oldest denim jacket in the world. It was called a triple pleat blouse at the time, but also another garment that was made for working men. So I get a chance to be able to answer questions like that internally and also externally by people who occasionally will get in touch and want me to authenticate an early garment. And that was something I did back in October, for instance, when I got a call from a ghost town, a famous ghost town in Sierra Nevada, several hours from here, because they had uncovered an old pair of blue jeans when they were renovating a roof and found one crumpled up in the roof. So I got to go up and take a look at those and authenticate what was a very early pair of blue jeans.
So do people send you their old jeans?
I sometimes do get old jeans. And in fact, one of the newest additions to our collection, I should say, came from a rodeo bull rider in New Mexico. He rode on the New Mexico circuit for about 9 years, and his favorite jacket to wear was a Levi's trucker jacket. It was a, we call it a Sherpa-lined jacket. It looks a little like a wool on the inside, and the jacket is well-worn. I got to chat with him about how he wore the jacket. He always had it on just before he went out to ride the bulls. He wore it in the chute, and it would keep him dry. And he also used it to wipe off the rope that he would have been holding on to the bull with. Mm-hmm. And then after a ride, when he got back out into the chute, if he was injured in any way, he would use the jacket to wipe off blood or whatever it was. And there are those stains still on the jacket. So they tell a story. And that's a recent addition to the collection.
You know, I'm thinking back through American history, and we've seen these photographs of James Dean and Marlon Brando and Marilyn Monroe all wearing blue jeans, all wearing Levi's jeans is what I'm guessing. My mom used to call them dungarees, by the way. And what is it that made these working man's jeans the, I would say, most iconic item of clothing that symbolizes, first of all, America and in many ways, America's sort of exports to the world, because now everyone wears jeans.
Absolutely. And in many ways, we share a history of our clothing with the people that wear them. And they have become iconic symbols for a lot of the important cultural moments that have happened in the history of our country and in the history of our world. James Dean and some of those first early rebels, men like Marlon Brando, were folks that came, men that came home after the war, World War II, and rather than going off to live in the suburbs and raise a family, they decided instead to put on a Levi's blue jeans, a white T-shirt, and a leather jacket, and come up with that kind of rebel, that rebel image that we have seen in Hollywood in movies like The Wild One that Marlon Brando portrayed, and James Dean as well. And from those early kind of Hollywood icon moments, and particularly also Marilyn Monroe as well later on, people embraced them. They started becoming much more popular. And then the folks that were actually making history were wearing our products. You'll see in 1969 during Woodstock, a sea of denim. People wearing those are blue jeans. And later on, when the Berlin Wall fell, the folks that were sitting on the wall in some of those images that we remember were wearing Levi's blue jeans. So they've really become symbolic in many ways of some of the important moments in history.
Last year, the Levi's CEO, Chip Berg, he was addressing a conference about the sustainability of Levi's, and he advised people not to wash their jeans. A clip of that went hyper viral. Is that company policy, Tracy? You can't wash your jeans?
We certainly talk about the importance of making our jeans sustainable by not washing them as much. And Chip really did create a sensation. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that when I was speaking with the rodeo rider who wore his famous jacket that is now part of the archives, he mentioned that rodeo riders never wash their jeans because they come up with a special stick that helps them adhere to the bull. And, you know, that has a particular a practicality to it. But I think the idea that Chip was getting across is that we don't need to wash them as much as that people have in the past that we can spot clean them. We can just hang them out to air dry. One of the great things about blue jeans is that they're incredibly sustainable, and they have been. They were created that way to be long lasting, long wearing. They were really the original sustainable garment. They've been used. They have been worn by people until they were worn out, and then used as patching for other garments. We have a wonderful piece of blue jeans, one of my favorites, called Stumpy, and it's a late 1800s pair of blue jeans. The right leg has been hemmed just above the knee to make it shorter, so that the person wearing it must have been a little shorter than the length of the pants. And then it's a very worn pair of pants. The left leg has been completely cut off just below the crotch area, most likely to be used for patching for another pair of jeans. So the blue jeans were intended to be incredibly sustainable, and when you couldn't use them anymore, you can cut them up and use them for someone else's jeans to make them last even longer.
Well, Tracy Panic, do you have the best gig?
I absolutely do. Yes.
Tracy Panic is a historian at Levi Strauss & Company. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you.
And you can see much more from the Levi's archive at our website and check out all the stories from our series Good Gig at wordofmouthradio.org.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be